Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Wow, I'm honored. He must have had a meeting yesterday.
Can you make this quick? I got a meeting.
Joel Klatt, our weekly visit with Joel. Brought to you each and every week by Audi Flatirons, and we got I'm surrounded by buffs. Buffs to the left of me, buffs to the right, as Mike Pritchard in for Mark this week. Good morning, Joel. I figured you'd be, maybe an hour and a half down the road there in San Diego checking out Tiger or Tory?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm headed down, so yes.
I knew you would be. You're on. So predictable, so awesome.
Yes.
All right, so I got a lot of ground to cover with you. First of
all right, what we got?
Let's jump into this.
Here we go. Great to talk to you, man.
Here we go. You're the Denver Broncos. You're looking at the Kansas City Chiefs. You're looking at Patrick Mahomes at age 24, and you've got that sick pit in the bottom of your stomach knowing that this guy's going to be there for the next 12 years. How do you go about to build to compete with Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Well, that's a great question. I think I've been thinking about this a little bit, and Mike, you know, and I've always said this too, by the way, whether I've been a guest or when I sat next to you, what did I always say about the best quarterback in the division? He's going to own the division, right? So I hate to say this, but it's like, to some respect, Bronco fans, maybe not management, but Bronco fans, are going to have to resign themselves to the fact that you may have to play kind of the Baltimore Ravens second fiddle to the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC North from a few years ago when Roethlisberger was making his run, right? So I think that you've got to build a team that is going to be competitive, and on any given year, based on the situation, the home field, can and will at times beat the Chiefs. But Patrick Mahomes is the new face of the NFL, and he's the face of the NFL because he, at least right now, I think is going to be the best quarterback moving forward. You don't just steal the division away from the best quarterback in the NFL, you know, based on frivolous construction of your roster. And I'm not suggesting that they're frivolous right now. And the reason that this is a long answer is because it's a really tough type of build. I think that you've got to have a great defense. Okay. I don't think that you're going to beat Patrick Mahomes without a great defense. That's number one. I think you've got to have a great pass rush. I think that you have to have the ability, at least to some extent, to control the game with the run, control the game clock, keep him on the sideline, right? And you do that with a great offensive line. Basically, what I'm telling you is I think that you've got to build one of those rosters that's not necessarily a quarterback-centric roster because, at least it's my estimation, that unless you're Tom Brady, which is the only quarterback that has beat Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City in a playoff game, like I just don't think you're going to out-quarterback Kansas City in the next 10 years. You're going to have to out-roster the Chiefs, if that makes sense. So I know it's not it's a precarious situation because this entire league is built for quarterbacks. This entire league is built for them to sustain success for a long period of time. I think Denver is going to have to go about this from a complete holistic point of view rather than just saying like, yeah, you know, we kind of like our quarterback. We'll see this year. I just don't think you're going to out quarterback Mahomes in the next decade right now in the NFL. So this is going to have to be a complete holistic roster type of construction.
You know, Joel, some people in Broncos country, they want to see if the Broncos can match what Mahomes has in terms of the playmakers that he has out there. So even Daniel Jeremiah has Jerry Jeudy, I guess, in his first mock draft, a wide receiver. He has him going to the Broncos. Now, I've heard through the grapevine.
Uh-oh, this could get awkward.
That you don't have an affinity for wide receivers for some reason. And you know, if Broncos country wants to see the Broncos match what Patrick Mahomes has, is it out of the question, or should it be out of the question for the Broncos to draft receiver at 15?
Well, first of all, Mike, you, the grapevine is absolutely accurate. I have zero affinity for wide receivers. I don't feel like they should ever be paid top tier money in the National Football League. I feel like on the totem pole of who you should sign in the National Football League, they're probably at the lowest point, at least in my estimation. I say that based on the fact that we've seen a team absolutely run the league for the better part of two decades, and that's one of the last places that they spend resources. Now, someone that's an opponent of that point of view would point out that Bill Belichick, the GM, probably is the one that got New England bounced out of the playoffs this year rather than Tom Brady, the quarterback, because he didn't have any quote-unquote weapons. But I just don't believe that with the talent that Mahomes has individually that you're going to – had a lot of success saying, hey, we're going to go out there and build a roster that's going to try to go out and win a shooting match with Mahomes. I mean, I just don't think, you know, that's like Ringo trying to get into a little draw match with Doc Holliday. You know, like, I'm your Huckleberry. That's what Mahomes is saying right now. I love Daniel Jeremiah, and I think the Broncos do need a whole roster. I just wouldn't spend any resources on wide receivers at this point. When you've got a left tackle that could be one of the worst left tackles in football, like, that has to be addressed 82 times in a row before you address the wide receiver position. Wide receivers are such a low priority for me, because you've got to have the offensive line. You've got to have the quarterback. You really need a middle of the field threat, which can be taken up by a running back or a tight end before a wide receiver. Name the last team that won the Super Bowl because they had the best wide receiver in football. In fact, the Atlanta Falcons, you could make an argument, lost the Super Bowl because they thought that they needed to throw the ball to their best offensive threat throughout the second half of the third quarter and the fourth quarter, which allowed the New England Patriots to come back in that game down 28-3. There is not a Super Bowl champ that you could say their best offensive player is a wide receiver.
What about Super Bowl MVP, though? Julian Edelman was.
I mean, that's
Super Bowl
an individual
MVP, right?
Game, right? I mean, anybody is going to go out there and anybody can win it. We've had defensive backs win it. We've had all sorts of people win the Super Bowl MVP. I think in an individual game, that's one thing. That's game plan specific. That's matchup specific. Rather than an overall construction.
That's what the wide receiver position is, though. It's a matchup specific situation. Like, when we watch the Super Bowl, I think we're going to boil the game
down.
But
you understand, Mike, that matchup can't take place. Like, listen, you can't exploit an outside matchup unless you can block or unless you can throw. Right? I always talk about, like, an independent factor versus, you know, a non-independent factor.
Right.
And to some extent, the only independent contributor on the offense is really the offensive line. Regardless of what's going on behind him, he can dominate the game. Now, he can't dominate for the offense. I think the ultimate independent contributor is the quarterback, because he can negate so many bad things going on around him. Now, a wide receiver can't. He can't. Look at the wide receivers for the Cleveland Browns right now. Some of the most talented guys in football. And they couldn't overcome their coach. They couldn't overcome a quarterback that wasn't growing in his second year. They couldn't overcome a lot of things. And the dysfunction that they bring, by the way, in general, wide receivers bring the most dysfunction to the locker room of any position group in football. So
hey, we're
going to
run out of time here.
This is kind of awesome. It's part of
the conversation, though, because it's about the construction, right? Like, and I'm of the belief, and listen, I'm a former quarterback. I do not believe Denver can get into a good old-fashioned duel with the Kansas City Chiefs. If we're talking about the Chiefs and we say, hey, we got to get out of the division first, I don't think you do that by saying, like, well, let's build a roster that is going to win 45-42. I just don't think that's smart.
Busy with Joel Klatt, our weekly visit with Joel, presented by Audi Flatirons. So your buddy Cecil Lammy is at the Senior Bowl this week, and talking to his fellow scouts in the scout community, there is a sense that the Bengals may like Justin Herbert better than Joe Burrow. Who would you select if you had the number one pick?
I would select Burrow. I think he's the better player. Herbert has some tantalizing skills and skill set, but his film isn't even close to Burrow. Not even close. Herbert is a good intangible guy as far as leadership goes. He does all the right things, but when you actually break down what his film is, Justin has a really hard time once he's got to get to 2 and 3 in the progression. He's got a really hard time when he feels pressure, his eyes go down almost immediately and he starts to see the rush and he doesn't keep his eyes downfield when he ends up scrambling. Burrow, while he does not have the strongest arm, I think that that's the weakest part of his game. He is NFL ready. He ran an NFL offense. He has unbelievable footwork. I've made the comparison to Joe Montana. That's who he reminds me of because of the smooth footwork. He's calm regardless of situation in the game and or the pressure that he faces. And he faced immense pressure, not only from an overarching standpoint in the national championship, but also from that Clemson defense. Never fazed him. He's hyper accurate, in particular in the intermediate zones. He does an unbelievable job of using his athleticism in order to buy time to get the ball down the field. He killed Georgia with his feet, not only running for a couple of first downs, but also scrambling and getting the ball down the field. He throws an immensely catchable ball. It's almost like a long handoff, very similar to Joe Montana. So, to be honest, it's not much of a comparison. All due respect to everyone involved. Don't want to throw cold water on anybody. I don't want to get anybody's feelings hurt, but, it's really not a comparison. Joe Burrow is the number one quarterback this year. He should be the number one quarterback. And if Cincinnati decides to draft Justin Herbert, they're making a massive mistake.
Gotta ask you, changing gears, but I know you had so much fun and so many warm feelings of nostalgia whenever you think back on that year that you did the Rockies studio show there for a full year.
Year and a half. They lost a total of like 752 games in that year and a half.
So I know you have nothing but positive things to say about the Rockies. I know that you do follow, though. And what do you make of the Nolan Arenado Rockies dust-up that has taken center stage this week?
I mean, candidly, I don't quite understand what their angle is in trying to, I guess, like, piss off the best player that they've ever had. And make no mistake, I do believe, I know Larry Walker, and by the way, congratulations to Larry Walker getting into the Hall of Fame. I'm so excited about that. But I don't quite understand. Nolan's the best baseball player that this organization has ever had. And so I don't quite understand it. All he wants to do is compete and try to win a World Series. He lives out here and I see him quite a bit in the off season. We actually played golf last year and all he ever talks about is the want, to win. And so I don't quite understand. It's not like this guy is just about money. I would argue that he took a little bit of a discount to be with Colorado. I know it's a big contract, so don't roll your eyes. But it is a touch of a discount because he could have gotten, in terms of quantity, much more, in terms of volume, much more than what was it, the 260 or 280 that he signed for before last season. So I don't quite understand what – is it Burdich, right?
Burdich, yeah.
And Brynich is way better than the guys that I was dealing with back then. And I know that they've been much more competitive and they've got, you know, a lot more baseball adults in the room than when I was there, when we had like GMs in the locker room. And I don't even know. It was like, ugh, that was terrible, by the way. It was one of the worst year and a half of my life. Loved dealing with the fans. Really did. But my goodness, you talk about putting icing on a turd every single night. Then Mike would be like, "Why did they pull that pitcher?" And I'd be like, "Well, you know, Mike, I have to tell you, and I'd have to be trying to spin it in the mornings as well, so that I didn't have to get called into the principal's office. It was terrible. But I don't understand why they're trying to, and I don't think they're trying to piss him off. But boy, it seems like that's just going in the wrong direction.
And I remember some of those days he'd been. Where's the one where you like you'd be? Was it San Diego or San Francisco where you'd have to, have to take, like, you'd go through some rough neighborhoods to get to a studio.
San Francisco. Oh, my gosh. Well, and it was before, so nowadays, so behind the curtain a little bit, if you wanted to do a radio show remotely, like Mark does, he gets a Comrex box, yeah, and it's this awesome box. So he sits right in the Fox studios in his dressing room and does the show.
Or from a hotel
room. When he's
room,
in
yeah,
L.A.
Yeah.
You know, or from a hotel room, and it sounds great, and, you know, he kind of wakes up, and it doesn't really alter his day. I used to have to get up at just the crack, man. Like, so we would do a post-game show until, you know, 12, sometimes 12:30, because those West Coast teams, first pitch was like 7:05. And then it would be a long game because the middle relievers for the Colorado Rockies couldn't throw more than like 13 pitches, and then they would get pulled, and then it was just a combination of errors. And I would get a couple hours of sleep, and then I would have to go get into a cab. Uber wasn't even around yet. This is like walking uphill both ways to school. I would get into a cab and drive to a local radio station and then get on the air with Mike in the mornings. And the radio station in San Francisco was atrocious. And I remember the first time I ever went, it was like, oh, this seems walkable from the hotel. So I got up and it was like, you know, West Coast, it's 3 a.m. to get on it because we were on at like 5:30. So, you know, it's 4 local, it's 4:30 local, and I'm walking around, and it was like the Walking Dead. I was like, oh dear God, what, like, I'm going to get murdered. This is it. This is the way it ends. It was just like unbelievable. You think there you go.
Say hi to Tiger for us, and enjoy your golf tomorrow. We always appreciate it. Thanks, buddy. We'll see you next week.
You got it. Wide right. Receivers. No bueno.
There you go. Got awkward.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.